How would you like to receive a CD of one of my Easter and Ascension sermons? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, and for any size gift during the Lenten season, we'll send you a CD with two sermons. You can donate online, issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size gift, before Easter Sunday, we'll send you a CD of one of my Easter and Ascension sermons. Sometimes I want a brand new day. Try to fit in where I don't belong. Hook, hook me up. I want to feel the rain in my... Joining us for the remainder of this Thursday afternoon's Issues Etc. to talk about the sexual ethic that is so common and to some seems to make so much sense. Try before you buy. Greg Kokel, he's president of Stand to Reason, based in Signal Hill, California. He's author of the book Tactics, A Game Plan for Discussing Your Christian Convictions. And he's also written an article in the latest Solid Ground newsletter titled Try Before You Buy. Greg, welcome back.
Hey, Todd. It's great to talk with you again. Thanks.
If I'm going to buy a car, new or used, it's a big commitment, okay? I'm not only going to test drive it, I might even take it to a mechanic and have him look it over top to bottom before I buy it. It just makes sense. Now, relationships, especially something like marriage, that's a big commitment. There's high divorce rates, lots of broken marriages. I want this to go well. Doesn't it make sense that in the case of that kind of commitment, I try before I buy?
Well, that certainly is the way a lot of folks are arguing nowadays. It depends on whether there's an appropriate parallel, doesn't it, between an automobile and a human being. It seems to me that breaks down just on face value because people aren't machines. There are emotions involved. There are relational issues, and actually, that question, and we can get into more details about the relational issues as it relates to the sexual performance, etc., which is at the heart, I think, of the answer to that question. But the question can be answered in a sense quite simply if you just simply look at the statistics of the survival rate of marriage for those who tried before they bought and those who did not. It turns out that those who tried before they bought, as it were, sexually speaking, they tried out the merchandise, thinking that this was wisdom, thinking that this is going to give them a good perspective on their capability to survive in the long haul, actually did worse than those who waited. The ones who were sexually active, especially those who are living together, I mean, trying it to that degree, if you will, those had a higher degree of divorce than those people who decided to obey God and trusted that God knew what he was doing when he gave the instructor's manual and decided not then to be sexually active, and they saved themselves. Oh, it's kind of funny using that phrase. I used to use it when I was a kid, but it sounds so archaic now. You know, it sounds so almost quaint. I'm saving myself for marriage sexually. But for those who do that, they have a more successful rate of marriage than those who do not.
Okay, with about a minute here, you say that the try before you buy sexual ethic, and you've stepped onto this already, it misrepresents the nature of sexuality. How so? With 1 minute before our break.
Because with a car, you're looking at a mechanical enterprise. You're just looking at the way parts work because it's all mechanical. But when you're dealing with a human being, their parts work in relationship to emotional states, levels of trust, commitment, relationships, those kinds of things. This is why there's a disanalogy there between an automobile and a human being. One's frame of mind, one's sense of safety, one's feeling of protection, all are factors that influence the ability of someone to operate mechanically in the sexual area, so to speak. So that's one big mistake, reducing sex to the mere mechanical.
Greg Kokel is our guest. We'll take a break on this Thursday afternoon, come back and spend the last half hour of our program responding to the sexual ethic, Try Before You Buy. He's president of Stand to Reason, based in Signal Hill, California, author of the book Tactics, A Game Plan for Discussing Your Christian Convictions. And he's written an article in the latest Solid Ground newsletter titled Try Before You Buy. It's Thursday afternoon, March the 24th. I invite your questions and your comments. Plenty of time to get to them. You can give us a call, 1-877-623-MY-IE. Send us an email here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at @issuesetc.
The beautiful shoreline, the calming sound of Lake Michigan, the glorious sunrise, the warm June afternoons. This is Wisconsin Lakeshore Luther Hostel on the campus of Concordia University, Wisconsin, June 11th through the 14th, 2011. The program, Dr. Paul L. Meyer, professor of history at Western Michigan University and frequent guest on Issues Etc. The topic, the Crescent and the Cross, Islam and Christianity. Dr. Meyer will cover the historical background of Muhammad, the rise of Islam around the world, the beliefs and practices of this world religion, and what its future may hold. In addition, the 4-day, 3-night Luther Hostel includes interesting day trips to area attractions. For details how you can register for Wisconsin Lakeshore Luther Hostel, sponsored by the Concordia Bible Institute on the campus of Concordia University, Wisconsin, visit the Concordia Bible Institute website at www.concordiabible.org or phone 262-243-4343.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Abortion, safe for whom?
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
In the debate over abortion, we often hear talk about keeping abortion safe. Echoing Bill Clinton, even President Obama has stated a goal of keeping abortion safe, legal, and rare. However, no abortion, legal or illegal, could possibly be safe for an unborn baby. And many abortions are fraught with both emotional and physical consequences for the mother as well. Contrary to popular myths and abortion advocates' rhetoric, abortion is not good for women. Some of the lowest maternal mortality rates in the world are found in Ireland, Chile, and Poland, countries which prohibit abortion.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.
Welcome back. We're talking about the sexual ethic. Try Before You Buy. Greg Kokel is our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Let me see if I'm understanding what you're saying here, Greg. And adventure, another analogy, if you don't mind, if I just let them flow. Babysitting. A lot of
be
people.
I'm going to try.
I'm trying to see if I understand what you're saying. Babysitting. A young couple, they're married, they are thinking about having kids. And they say, you know, let's see how this works. Let's see if we're cut out for it. What are we like when we're sitting here with the baby changing diapers? They say, we'll babysit some of our friends' infant children. And they do it. I have actually done this. Before we had kids, we babysitted our friends' infant children. And they're doing this to try and determine, well, you know, are we ready to be parents and take that big plunge?
Mm-hmm.
What strikes me about that scenario is that as good as they may care for this child, as well as they may care for this child, or even care for this child personally, they aren't that kid's parents.
Mm-hmm. That's different, isn't it?
They may learn how to change a diaper, put him to sleep, all of those things. But what is missing from the trial balloon, so to speak, is the relationship that can only be created when it's your offspring. Is that similar to the cohabitation? There's something missing inherently in cohabitation that must be there in the lifelong commitment.
Yeah, there is I think that there's a similarity and there's a difference. On the one hand, if you think of the try before you buy in the broadest sense, that is that when you're thinking about a lifelong long commitment with another person, or whether that's a marriage partner or children, it is good to find out as much as you can about the things that are relevant to that decision so you can make a wise decision. And so I applaud somebody who wants to babysit and change diapers. And you and I know, having kids, that this is just a taste of the future. But at least you get, you know, sometimes that's an eye-opener and a wake-up call, so you kind of get a little bit more information, which is fine. And there are ways in human relationships that it's good to get more information about a person and what it would be like to live with that person for a long time. There's a relational development aspect that is, if you're asking the right questions and spending the right kind of time together, then that will make a big difference in having a successful relationship. But the real question is whether testing out the sexual machinery is part of that equation. And the fact is that that sex is more than simply mechanics, and love is more than simply pleasure. What you have with sex is you have something that God has designed for marriage, the protective environment of marriage, because sex brings babies, naturally speaking, as well as other things. I mean, there's a unitive factor, too. You're close to each other, but it, because of what it accomplishes and because of the power of it, that particular experience God designed to be had in the safety of a long-term commitment. And if you're just trying the machinery out, it kind of presumes that your sexual responsiveness to another person is determined by mechanical responses. Look, there are a lot of people that are just uneasy about sex because they're naive or because they're just plain modest. And naivete and modesty are things that would, in a certain sense, be protected in the long term or understood in the long-term protective relationship of marriage. But when that is expressed kind of when you're being tested out before marriage, I mean, it could be a disastrous experience. And I think a lot of folks can understand that. So there's a certain dissimilarity, though there is a kind of testing out in a certain sense. You want to explore aspects of the relationship for the future. In this particular area, this is one that causes more harm than good when you test out the machinery, as it were.
You say that sex is not just for procreation, recreation. It's also for identification. What do you mean?
Well, the text, the biblical text, talks about in the sexual act, the two become one. There is a deep unity that is intended to be experienced in that process. So God, from the very beginning, we read about this in Genesis, and then we see later explanations of it. In fact, the Scripture sometimes refers to the sexual act as knowing another person. That is that deep union, that deep intimacy that is experienced. So we don't, when you think about it, Todd, we don't take our most intimate selves and expose them to people on the street we don't even know. This is something that's valuable, okay? And so since lovemaking is not just a matter of physical pleasure, but entails this unitive aspect, the two becoming one, this deep openness, then that is only going to actually happen best, that flowering, as it were, the opening of the blossom, when there is protection for a person to open themselves. There's a collapse of ego boundaries in this. By the way, women understand this much better than men. Guys, you know, can just kind of charge forward and be thinking more of the pleasure aspect. But for women, the fulfillment and the pleasure is tied to a safe environment and a safe relationship. And even though our modern culture has tried to change that and to twist that, it's still going against nature when you do that. Sexual competence is not the kind of thing that can be tested like machinery so that you can test the pleasure meter. It is the kind of thing, as many married people know, that actually flowers best under the protective environment of a long-term commitment in marriage.
You also say that good sex, I guess you'd say pleasurable sex, when test driving the equipment, can actually be a danger sign.
Yeah, it can, and I haven't actually heard people talk about this very much, but I have to appeal here to those in your audience who have been sexually active in relationships before. And this is also characterized in movies for those who haven't been sexually active, but isn't it the case that sometimes when you have a volatile relationship, in other words, it's not stable, you have a lot of bad things happening, so you get into arguments, okay? Well, once the argument is resolved, sometimes that launches the libido, and you have what's called making up sex, as it were. We're making up and we're expressing this desire to be close now, by contrast to the fighting stage. Now we're going to really have this violent, or not violent, but aggressive sexual experience, and this actually happens. But notice why there's such intense sex. It's because the extreme on the other end so was so intense as well. So is this really a good environment for a long-term relationship? And the answer is obviously no. I mean, pretty soon this gets this just gets old, and the sexual desire then begins to dissipate because the extremes of the relationship, the fighting, the conflict, begin to eat away at it. And when you get married, as you know, in that circumstance, oh, we're having great sex and we'll whatever, then the sex dies away, but the conflict still remains, and that's a long-term problem in the relationship. So there's a kind of an odd way, Todd, as you pointed out, that that good sex can really be a signal that there's something bad or wrong on the foundation of your relationship.
I mean, what is inevitable? Let's say someone tries before they buy, they decide to buy, they marry, and then, as is inevitable with age, with familiarity, with stress and all the things that come along, kids, I mean, they can really cramp your style.
Right, that's right.
At least for a good number of years there during their childhood. The whole basis for the decision that was, wow, we tried out the equipment and it worked great, is gone.
That's right. And actually, I think a lot of folks don't realize until way after the fact, when all the decisions are made and it's too late, that the sexual closeness that they experienced, and I acknowledge that this can be a powerful bonding thing in the short term, that is not the same as intimacy. That is the kind of closeness that is required to endure the ups and downs of marriage. And if look at it, if anybody who has kids knows that when you have your first kid, I mean, the sexual thing is on hold pretty much for a long time. And if this is what has been a staple in your relationship, rather than genuine, deeper relational skills that you've built, a friendship, a closeness that is not affected or not artificially pumped up by sex, if you haven't developed those things, then when those challenges come, when, you know, headaches, diapers, crying babies all night long, all of that stuff impede and interfere, well, then the relationship can really go to the rocks very quickly. And this is another factor here. The sexual thing distorts judgment. And when you get married, when you're thinking in the long term, you do not want to have your judgment distorted. You want to have, as a couple, a good sense of how you will function in the long term without, in a sense, the artificial propping up of the sexual closeness.
When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Greg Kokel, talking about the sexual ethic, try before you buy. We'll get some of your phone calls in with your questions or comments, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. I am very interested to hear your Issues Etc. story. What do I mean by an Issues Etc. story? It means you've listened for years, you've listened for only a little while, but Issues Etc., or we should say God's Word through Issues Etc., has significantly impacted your life or someone around you. I want to hear your Issues Etc. story, and we've given you just the place to leave it for us. Our Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384, anytime, day or night. As the story strikes you, you can leave it there at the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. Before Thursday, April the 7th, I want your Issues Etc. story. How has God's Word worked through Issues Etc. for you or for someone that you know? What's your favorite Issues Etc. show and why? 618-223-8384.
When you need a friend, you have a friend in Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, and friends among his people at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Arnold, Missouri. At Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, we offer Christ-centered word and sacrament ministry, inspirational liturgical worship services, and faithful preaching and teaching. Sunday worship services are at 9 a.m. Sunday school and Bible class are at 10:30. We also have an excellent Christian preschool. We invite you to join us. Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, 2211 Tenbrook Road, Arnold, Missouri, 636-296-1292.
Do you have an Issues Etc. story to tell? We want to hear from you. Tell us your Issues Etc. story by calling our comment line before Thursday, April 7th, 618-223-8384. Be sure to give us your first name and tell us where you're from. Now, the listener with the best story will receive the first three Issues Etc. books of the month for this year. 618-223-8384. 618-223-8384.
Smartest listeners in radio, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Dr. John Warwick Montgomery on the 2011 International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights in Strasbourg, France.
The listeners to Issues Etc. already have had contact through the program with lecturers who will be in Strasbourg this next summer. Craig Parton, myself, Dr. Minuge, Angus Minuge, Adam Francisco, and these lecturers are people who have defended the faith, who know how to defend the faith, and who are marvelous communicators. And so, if a listener to this program wants to learn how to present the case for Christianity in a secular situation, the 2 weeks in the French Rhineland with us would be an absolutely ideal way to achieve this.
You can find out more about the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights, July 5th through the 16th in Strasbourg, France, at apologeticsacademy.eu. We're talking about The Sexual Ethic. Try Before You Buy. Greg Kokel is our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Greg is president of Stand to Reason, based in Signal Hill, California. You'll find a link to Stand to Reason under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org, or you can receive their free Solid Ground newsletter by giving them a call, 1-800-2-REASON, 1-800-2-REASON. Steve is waiting on his cell. Hi, Steve.
One of the questions I have is there, I'm going to question even the supposition, do people really want long-term relationships anymore? We see premarital agreements taking place, so, you know, you're already planning the out before you've even said I do in your marriage. And we see that all the time. We see people where there's a complete consumer mindset towards everything that they do, including marriage. So if it doesn't work out, if it gets tough, if I don't like that, I'm out of here. And to me, the try before you buy really is more a symptom of this whole consumer me-centered mindset that we see pervasive across our culture.
Steve, thank you very much. Your thoughts, Greg?
Yeah, I think you're right, Steve, that it is a reflection of a kind of a consumer mindset. Keep in mind what we're consuming, though. We're consuming each other. And this is a much more popular idea when people don't want long-term relationships. But then it's not a circumstance of try before you buy because they don't want to buy. They don't even want to rent. They just want to try. And this is where I think when we reflect on the nature of human relationships, this is part of the mistake. People think that this is some kind of casual thing that you can just do any other activity that doesn't have deep consequences to it. I mean, when women have, and there's good studies in this, UCLA, right down the road from where I live here, they did a study there of women who were having engaged in friends with privileges kind of thing, you know, just sex with friends, and the women's suicide rate went through the roof because human beings were not made to operate this way. And if people don't want long-term relationships, I can appreciate that, but then don't try to abscond with the privileges that go with long-term relationships, and that is sexual favors. And when you do, you're cheating yourself. and you're cheating the other person that you're having sex with. And this is where the alert, I think, has to go out more to women than to men, because men don't care to a large degree. The women are the ones that suffer, and this means that the women are the ones that are going to have to say no and domesticate the men in their life, because they're not going to draw the lines like women will. But if women want to be protected from those who are not interested in long-term relationships, then they have to say no.
You also point out that whether we want it to be or not, sexual activity is dangerous.
Oh, yeah, this is a very practical concern, you know. All the other things that I mentioned, you can add to that the danger. I mean, sex is physically dangerous right now. Sexually active young people face face the risk of a parade of sexually transmitted diseases, syphilis, chlamydia, herpes, gonorrhea, and things that I'd never even heard of before when I was a young person, they've got now, in addition to HIV. So this is a problem. There's also the risk of pregnancy. Now, the experience of becoming a parent should be one of the most wonderful events in life. But instead, that beautiful phrase, "I'm going to have a baby," is often transformed into a lament. And this is what happens lots of times with people who are sexually active. Now, those who, especially who are Christians, who may have moral concerns about the issue of abortion, and they should, I'll tell you, abortion looks pretty attractive when you're the one carrying the baby, even if you think it's wrong. And women who secretly dispose of their children in a moment of weakness, they shoulder the burden of that wrong for the rest of their life. It does not go away. And if they decide to carry the child, the mother sometimes finds herself deserted. The children are often robbed of a stable home that's anchored by two parents. Sometimes, you know, they live with mom and, I mean, with the grandparents, I guess, in this case. I mean, it's not a pretty picture. It's not the way it's supposed to be. And single moms know this from experience. The woman's life will never be the same once she gets pregnant. Either she aborts the child or she carries to term and adopts out or keeps the baby. Everything is different, all because people didn't obey the instructions of a God who knows best.
We had a guest on very recently who pointed out that classically, chastity isn't simply abstinence. We do talk a lot about abstinence, but chastity, Christian chastity, is classically viewed as well-ordered sexual activity. That is, in its proper place, in its proper time and context.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that, and why? And do you think that would help, rather than simply emphasizing the no of abstinence, which is certainly necessary, the yes of where sex does belong?
Yes, I think that's a wonderful way to look at it, Todd. I just think in our culture, it's really hard to look at it that way because so many of the messages are from the other side. But if you think about it, God isn't against sex. When you think about it, there are six sexual activities prohibited in the Bible, and every one of those is a type of sexuality that someone is having with someone other than his or her spouse, which means that it seems like there's a tremendous amount of sexual freedom within the context of marriage, and outside of it, there shouldn't be any. And so there is a sense in which you can think about, I am going to, as you put it, be a well-ordered individual. I am going to develop myself in a way that will make me happiest in the long term. If you're just thinking in terms of selfish concerns, make me happiest in the long term, the way that you're going to be most satisfied in the long term, about the things you deeply want in the long term, is by following the instructions. And if you develop the self-control, those virtues related to chastity, before you're married, this portends really well for success in your marriage afterwards. And I want to tell you, folks, if you ever had trouble in relationships before you were married, and you know the pain of that, being losing somebody, it is no comparison to the pain and the difficulty and the hardship that one faces after they're married and that kind of thing happens. And so we want to have everything working in our favor so that we can have long-term satisfaction, protection not just for ourselves but also for our children. And that's what God has in mind with this, Todd.
Greg, with only 1 minute, and finally, nobody likes to take a test. And it seems to me that this test drive kind of mentality, sexual ethic, essentially says to the other person, I'm testing you,
mm-hmm.
you're testing me, I might fail you, you might fail me, and I got to ask, you know, where's the love?
Yeah, there is certainly a common sensibility to the try before you buy, testing it out, and on one hand, but when you look at the realities of it, it really is a consumer mentality. I'm going to use your body to see if my body feels pleasure and I feel satisfaction. And if I use you and I don't like it, then I get rid of you. That's not loving. And if you want to have the best sex, the best kind of sex is the sex that God has ordained, that is, which is developed over time in the protective, loving, graceful, gracious environment of a marriage between a man and a woman. And that's the manufacturer's advice, and he's the one who made the car. If you want a metaphor with vehicles, there you go. We've got a manufacturer's manual. He tells us how we work. We should follow the instructions.
Greg Kokel is president of Stand to Reason, based in Signal Hill, California, author of the book Tactics, A Game Plan for Discussing Your Christian Convictions. You can purchase Greg's book, Tactics, at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. He's also written an article in the latest Solid Ground newsletter titled Try Before You Buy. Greg, thanks for being our guest.
You're welcome, Todd. I look forward to the next time.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll talk to Dr. Arthur Just of Concordia Theological Seminary about the Annunciation of our Lord. This is that story when the angel Gabriel, sent from God, comes to the Virgin Mary and tells her that she will conceive and bear the Son of God. Not only does he tell her this, but the Holy Spirit, through that word, conceives in her womb that very Son of God. It's not just an annunciation, it's a conception. That's why, by the way, it's celebrated tomorrow, March 25th. Count the months, 9 months in advance of December 25th. Dr. Arthur Just will explain more about that tomorrow on Issues Etc. So you violated the instruction manual. You have tried before you bide. Maybe it wasn't cohabitation. Maybe it was just sex before marriage. And you're saying to yourself, can anything fix this? The answer is, well, it does bring a lot of complications into your life. There may be consequences to this that you will live with for the rest of your life. But I can assure you of one thing. Seeing the error of your ways, repenting of your sin before God who sees all. Guess what? There may be consequences to this. But there is forgiveness for this. And with that forgiveness comes God's promise that the good gift that he gives in marriage of sex can still be yours and is still yours. But don't underestimate the forgiveness. All of us need it with regard to sexual sins, be they only of the mind and not of the body, be they in the past or in the present. All of us need this forgiveness, and these sins are not unforgivable. These sins are the very sins, among all of our sins, for which Jesus was suffering, bleeding, and dying on the cross. These sins are the ones he left nailed to the cross for you. There is, in Christ, forgiveness. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.